Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
My mother just sent me a goodnight text in Espanol. It's just a little bit of Espanol. I'm trying to teach her. I do this every now and then when we talk on the phone. I'll address her in Spanish or I'll say a couple phrases in Spanish. And then she'll try to send them back to me. And so I was teaching her today what daughter is in Espanol and how you might address someone in Spanish with a term of affection. So like you might say dear or honey or sweetheart or well in Espanol, at least in Cuba, they use Bella a lot, mi Bella. And so she sends me a text to say goodnight. I'm praying for your show, as she always does every single night. And then she says, mi Bella hija. My mom is so cute. Also, she picked the Patriots. And so I told her on Monday, hey, Mom, your Super Bowl pick is still alive. And she said, yes, I know. I feel very smart. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. My mom knows very little about football. However, she did watch both of the games. She said almost all of them on Sunday. That's a big investment for Mama going into overtime. Both the AFC and NFC championship games, as you know. We're going to talk about the aftermath, the post-mortems in Kansas City and New Orleans, because they were both host sites. And on Monday, both teams and coaches were cleaning out their lockers and issuing their final comments before the long offseason begins. They might feel like hibernating. They may feel like it'd be better to be a grizzly bear or a black bear and just find some big, deep hole to climb into and curl up. And boy, does that sound nice. Except they don't get to eat for a really long time, so I don't know if I could do it. Hibernating and the sleeping part sounds fantastic, but the not eating for 5 or 6 months doesn't so much. So, and so we will do a little bit of the eulogy as well for both the Saints and the Chiefs. And coming up in 30 minutes, we'll spend some time in the Heartland in Kansas City after both Andy Reid and Dee Ford. Erstwhile linebacker Dee Ford spoke to the media and spoke for quite a while, took every question, spoke up clearly and loudly, and accepted responsibility and told you exactly how he feels in the wake of the offsides penalty that negated what could have been a game-preserving, game-ending interception off Tom Brady. So there's a lot to get to on the football side. Of course, it's inside of 2 weeks of the Super Bowl. And the reason why I sigh is because these 2 weeks are two of my least favorite football weeks of the year. Okay, hear me out. The preview wears me out. I can't do it. I cannot spend the next 12 days previewing one game. I can't. I won't. It bores me to tears. In fact, as it turns out, the more and more I work in this business, the longer my career goes in sports radio, the less preview I watch. There are times when I don't even turn on the Super Bowl until they've gotten to the national anthem, because I always want to see the national anthem and the flyover. But yeah, the preview, bleh, no thank you. So yeah, it's good to hear from Tom Brady in the wake of the AFC Championship victory on the road, their first since 2004. Certainly great to hear from Sean McVay, initial comments, but if what you want is a preview and a breakdown of every single potential factor from now until the game kicks off on February 3rd, I think that's the date, then this is not the show for you, because I would rather talk about anything than preview the Super Bowl for 12 days. No. However, we will be taking this show on the road to Atlanta for Super Bowl week. Now, it's generally not a lot of Super Bowl preview. Instead, we'll connect with current players, former players, some Hall of Famers, which is always a treat. Every year I have a chance to sit down and talk to guys that I've never spoken to before, guys who wear those gold jackets, and it's so neat to see them dotting Radio Row. They all wear their gold jackets. The guys who were just inducted and the guys who have been in for decades, and they have different stories to tell, but it's such a neat time to watch them all connect with one another, because at most they see each other twice a year in Canton and then on Radio Row, but they may not always do that even. And so that's kind of the fun part. It's access to Hall of Famers that you just don't have at any other point. And then we'll also have some special guests, some unique flavor that is specifically Atlanta and specifically pop culture, entertainment, just what turns out to be a major party. So it's not just football. I remember the first time I went to Radio Row, Bill Murray was sitting in a corner just taking it all in. He was just hanging out and watching. He wasn't even necessarily doing interviews, not that I saw. He was just watching. And it's also fun to be there because you never know who might walk through Radio Row and what entourage he or she might be bringing, and the reaction that you'll get. Let's see, was it 2 years ago? No, I think I was in San Francisco when this happened. And Tim Tebow walked through, and it was an entourage, and the crowds were parting. I mean, it was amazing, the phenomenon that was Tim Tebow as he walked through Radio Row. And this is with other Hall of Famers. So Joe Montana is on Radio Row at the same time, not attracting nearly the attention as Tebow, which is just weird. But you never know who's going to pop up and who you might see and the pictures that might be taken. And so I'm excited to get there. It's a lot of work, but it's always worth it for the three shows that we'll do, in this case from Atlanta. So I'll land there next Tuesday morning. We'll hit the ground running. Chris has been working on putting together a great guest list for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday that you'll then hear those interviews and conversations as well as my observations. I try to take pictures, but it doesn't always work. Because the first year that I went on the road to Radio Row, producer Tom was with me, and so he did so many pictures and videos. It's probably not going to happen as much, though last year I did take some, and I try to tweet them and put them on Facebook when I can. So I can only promise you I will try. Do or do not. There is no try. I can hear Yoda in my brain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I have a Twizzler Tuesday question that I like, that I'm still thinking about, and I will present that to you as we go through this first hour of the show. And I think it's a question that applies really to any sport. It's about the value. It's also about risk versus reward when it comes to athletes and contracts. And so we'll get into that a little bit later on. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We still have our Monday MVP poll live and calculating your votes. So you can find that either on my Twitter or the show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And then also on our Facebook page, named after the show. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And it's always toll free. Let's save NBA for our next segment and give you a little bit of the football. As I mentioned, feeling like a funeral in both New Orleans and Kansas City. And I often wrestle with this question. Even going back to my days when I was a college basketball player, but really competing on any level, it can apply to you if you're a coach of a high school team. Maybe you played at the highest level. I don't know if I prefer to lose and get blown out or to be hanging in there until the final second and have it so cruelly ripped away from you, almost like stealing defeat from the jaws of victory. Ah. And in both of the cases for the New Orleans Saints the last couple of years, it's been this late disaster, this late either the Minneapolis Miracle, in their case, not getting the pass interference call, but also not able to capitalize on winning the coin flip in overtime. And they had opportunities, and they weren't able to take advantage of them. And so I don't know. I don't know that I want it. Nobody wants to get blown out and feel like you were not even competing. But I think it hurts more when you come closer. So knowing that you were only inches away, knowing that you were one play or two plays away, that if this had gone your way or you had done this differently, the whole thing could be different. In the case of both the Saints and the Chiefs, you have that quality as well. And so, sometimes I go back and forth because getting blown out is embarrassing, but it's more painful, in my opinion, to come so close and have it be denied. It's almost like climbing a mountain and getting within 100 feet of the summit, and then something happens. There's a storm, or it gets too dark, or you're just exhausted and you don't ever get to the top, but you can see it from where you are. It's tantalizing and teasing you. It's like a carrot dangling there. You can see it from where you are. But if you get blown out, well, okay, so you never really saw that potential victory and that potential glory. So for the Saints, this is obviously a really painful second consecutive exit. And I appreciated the comments from Taron Armstrong, Armstead, who is a member of the offensive line. The biggest topic in their locker room on Monday, of course, was the pass interference call that wasn't made. Nickell Robey-Coleman against Tommy Lee Lewis, just plowing him over in those final 2 minutes. And there's actually been some talk, and there certainly was talk inside the Saints locker room, of this stipulation in the NFL guidelines. It's actually a rule where the commissioner of the NFL could, in the most egregious situations, decide that an outcome needs to be overturned or a result can be thrown out. Now, again, it's we're talking about emergency type situations. We're talking about where something has gone so horribly wrong that the commissioner feels like he has to step in. Not generally about officiating. But when you consider the owner of the Saints, Gail Benson, releasing a statement in which she talks about the integrity of the league and a fair and competitive playing field, and you've got this call that everyone is talking about. I feel confident saying everyone there because everyone is talking about it. And then you have the Saints pointing to this rule and even Michael Thomas tweeting, "Hey, Roger Goodell," or "Roger, can you pick up the phone?" I wonder if they're on a first name basis. They might be. "Roger, can you pick up the phone?" And then Armstead, who himself says, "I can't even stop crying. We were so close that I don't know how I'm going to get over this."
If they do add replay to pass interference call, it doesn't do anything for us right now. And that's just all. That's really my whole headspace right now. It's just tough for us. Devastating for us. A team that has fought through so much. And close. We were close. So, I mean, whether they add replay to it or not, it doesn't help us at all. It's too late.
I mean, you hear what he says. This is really tough, and no matter what changes, including potentially replay for pass interference calls, it doesn't help us. It's too late. Despite the fact that they would love for Roger Goodell to step in. He says, "I'm trying to stop crying for real, like a baby. Just being so close to actually going to the Super Bowl." And he talks about how he's from a small town in Illinois and a small school and labels this heartbreaking. And he says, "We battled, we're all sore, we're hurting, and it was all for nothing. That bleep sucks."
No crying!
Oh, no, I think there's crying. Real men cry! And so I appreciate the fact that these guys are wrestling with it. It's human. It's not only human, but it's also real life. Sometimes things happen that are just completely out of our control, and there's absolutely nothing that we can do about it and no way that we can fix it. But gosh, hearing him, you just don't know how these guys are going to get over it.
it is like detrimental to the game. Like it decided, we had a, don't get me wrong, we had another chance, overtime. But to not, it wouldn't have made it to that, you know. I don't know, but just a phone call saying we messed up, we were 100% wrong, we admit it, we messed you over, it does nothing for us, like, absolutely nothing for us.
And I agree with that too. I don't think, as much as Sean Payton talked to Al Riveron and shares that and says they, you know, they admitted right away that the call was or should have been made. There was no call to say it was wrong, but there that call should have been made. It doesn't make them feel any better, nor does any type of change down the road, which is what Drew Brees talked about in the aftermath. And ironically enough, Sean Payton is on the competition committee. So even as the NFL is indicating that it will likely go back and look at, investigate, adding replay in situations like this one, there really hasn't been a whole lot of support for it in the past. Now, maybe Sean Payton makes it a more passionate case when the competition committee gets together. But here's the problem. And I also come back to this. This is a judgment call. Now, that one seemed super easy to make. Not a whole lot of judgment necessary. But if you make judgment calls reviewable, then you open up a whole different can of worms. How many judgment calls? All judgment calls? Every call? So if you want to weigh in there, how much do you think should be reviewable? There's a lot of technology out there, but heavens to Betsy. The replays late in the NBA, they take away a lot of my enjoyment of watching games when you get slogged down in a bunch of replays. Now, do I think it should be correct if you can get it correct? Absolutely. But there's got to be a format for it. And in this case, judgment call, they're not always black and white like this missed pass interference. Sometimes there's a gray area. So then you're just going to go with the head of officiating? It's going to be his call every time? Well, then why bother paying the guys that are on the field? So there's a whole, like I said, a whole nother conversation to get into when you start reviewing judgment calls. But for Teron Armstrong, why do I keep saying it like that? I think because my brother just talked to me about The First Man, the latest movie. Sorry. Anyway, so Armstead, not Armstrong. You can hear it in his voice. And Sean Payton, too, talking about after the game on Sunday. There's just no easy way to get over this. Dee Ford is kind of in a similar space. Although for him, he can't point the finger at somebody else. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Second and goal to go from the 2. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkhead. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bob Sosi with the final call of the AFC Championship game on the Patriots Radio Network. And yes, the Pats are heading to their third consecutive Super Bowl, 5th and 8. I think last night I said 5 and 6. The years all blurred together. The success, it all blends together. But if I've got it correct, I think that's their 5th and 8. So quite an achievement for the Patriots, considering they had to go on the road and win in a hostile environment in Kansas City. And there's a moment that a lot of the Chiefs, as well as Chiefs fans, are going to look back on and think, if only. Now, it doesn't mean, just as I've said about the Saints, it doesn't mean the Chiefs' loss boils down to this one play, only that if that play had gone differently, if, and I'm actually watching it again right now, it's up on the screen in front of me, if there hadn't have been an offsides call against Dee Ford, the linebacker for the Chiefs, well, then there could have been an interception that likely would have preserved the win for Kansas City. They would have had an opportunity to grab a first down and run out the clock and never give it back to Tom Brady and never watch that game go into overtime. Now, ifs and buts, you know all about them. But it's hard when there's that moment and you think, you could drive yourself crazy going over and over and over and over that moment. And actually, that's the kind of personality I am. 98% of whatever project or game or show I'm doing could go splendidly. But it's that 2% that I go over and in my head that when I was a basketball player, the one missed layup or the one shot that I didn't get set or the bad pass, it didn't matter how the rest of the game went. Sometimes it didn't even matter if we won. I would beat myself up over that one particular moment. And so I can certainly identify with what Dee Ford is going through right now. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to spend some time in Kansas City in 15 minutes and the postmortem from Andy Reid. But Dee Ford, it's a guy who I appreciate, is standing up there and addressing everybody with a microphone.
I was surprised. Sloppy football on my end, and I'll take that on the chest. That was an opportunity for the whole city of Kansas City to, you know, make history. And, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day. I'll take it on the chest, and I'm going to use it as motivation. Sloppy football on my end at the end of the day. Whether it's 6 inches, however many inches, I was offside. You usually get a couple warnings like, hey, you're getting close. Even if the offensive tackle is off, they'll tell them, you know, scoot up. I could have called you on that, you know, usually. But I can't expect that. I just have to line up on sides. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not an excuse maker.
So Dee says, I'm going to take this. I'm going to use it as motivation, which is really all you can do with failure. Failure knocks you, generally knocks you on your rear end, or maybe knocks you flat on your face. You have two choices. You can stay there, or you can get up and you can do it again and you can do it better. And that's that type of motivation and that type of determination is certainly something that a lot of professional athletes share. And he's also accepting responsibility. This could have been a huge moment for the city of Kansas City, if not for the fact that I completely messed it up and lined up offsides. Ouch. Okay, I feel like the first 20 minutes of the show have been completely depressing. Can we have some made three-pointers or something just so I can be in a happy mood again? Please, Klay Thompson, help us out.
Cousins offensive rebound, dribbles in trouble, over to Thompson, the three ball is good! Cousins giving the Warriors new life on that play. Warriors lead by 8. Thompson gets free up top. Swish. Another 3 for Klay.
He's the hottest player. He's got 17, Jim. 3 of 3 from 3.
Thompson gets free right side from Curry. And there goes another one. 9 for 9 from 3. Klay Thompson, 41 points in 26 minutes without a free throw. And somebody right now is counting how many dribbles he's had. Curry finds Thompson right side, loads up another one. Oh, you kidding me? You've got to be kidding me. Ridiculous. Klay Thompson hit it from the sideline, 10 of 10 for 3.
Okay, I feel so much better now. Thank you, Klay Thompson. Against the Lakers, Klay sets an NBA record, making his first 10 attempts from downtown. 44 points for him. Tim Roy and company on the Golden State Warriors Radio network. So, all right, phew. Especially on a night when Steph Curry went 2 of 10. Well, Klay Thompson goes 10 of 11 officially, but makes his first 10. All right. Add a little mirth, a little basketball, a little basketball on the bounce to your night. Straight ahead. Okay, we're going to back to being depressing. That's where we're going next. For Kansas City Chiefs fans, it's a lot to stomach. For the Chiefs themselves, it's a lot to stomach when they were so close. What changes moving forward, too? Because now begins this long march to the offseason.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We will be spending some time in Kansas City coming up, and we'll talk about Andy Reid and the postmortem and really, how do they move forward from here? Because there was some optimism for them. There certainly was some optimism. And they've got this young quarterback who, did you see the numbers? The idea that he could end up being a $200 million player, which, I mean, you kind of get the idea. Whenever it happens, if Mahomes continues on this current arc, well, then he's going to be the highest paid. At whatever point that he gets paid, he's going to be the highest paid. And that kind of spins me forward into our Twizzler Tuesday question. So in light of what we're hearing about Manny Machado, so you've got Pat Mahomes, who could end up having this massive contract. You've got Manny Machado, who is a guy right now who's kind of considering his options. Bryce Harper, too. And baseball is a little bit different because of the guaranteed contracts and no salary cap. There certainly are big contracts, fat contracts that NHL players get, max contracts that we see for the best players in the NHL. And then in the NBA, all the contracts are guaranteed. And they can have these... I mean, the higher the salary cap goes up, and it's really a soft cap anyway. We're talking about exorbitant numbers. And there's always this delicate balance between the number and the year. So it's a risk reward. You want to sink money and invest money in your best players. But where do you draw that line and say, okay, either this player is going to have outlived his usefulness, and we're talking about, again, mostly guaranteed contracts. In the NFL, you can always get out of a contract at some point, though it may cost you financial, some type of financial hit. But as I was thinking about the guys right now who are still looking for homes in Major League Baseball, and thinking about Pat Mahomes, who could land the NFL's first $200 million contract, I started to think, is there anybody out there anymore who's worth 10 years? Are there athletes out there, and Mahomes maybe could be one of those? Who are the athletes out there right now that you would invest 10 years in? Who are they? Is Pat Mahomes at his age, when, and he's not eligible for, he's eligible for an extension soon, but this is a guy who's really early in his career, right? He could get a new deal after next season. And the reports that we've heard, his extension could dwarf the four-year, $134 million contract that Aaron Rodgers received from the Packers. And I don't know if you remember or not, but the guaranteed money for A-Rod was nearly $99 million. So all of that was a completely record deal, and those are astronomical numbers for the NFL. But if Mahomes is worth $200 million, the Chiefs are going to need to spread it over a long period of time. He's 23 years old. Would you give him a 10-year deal? Manny Machado, would you give him a 10-year deal? Bryce Harper, would you give him a 10-year deal? What athletes out there would you say are worthy of 10 years? Now, we're speaking monopoly money. So I don't expect you necessarily to worry about the financial side of it. It's not your money anyway. It's the owner's. So don't worry necessarily about the money. But if you're the general manager of a team and money is no object, you have to consider the risk versus the reward of handing out a 10-year deal to an athlete. I don't know. Are there more than a handful of teams that I think would make that commitment? And then what about the players? Pat Mahomes, to me, feels like he's worth it because of age, because of early potential, because of the success that the team has already had around him, because of how well he and Andy Reid work together. Now, it's still a limited sample size, and that's the scary part, is that he's essentially 1 year into his NFL career. What about a Jared Goff? We know he's no longer a bust, but would you give him a 10-year deal? Would you say, let's wrap him up so he's the quarterback for the next 10 years? The caveat always being injuries, of course. But let's just say your deal has an out if there's an injury. So a fully healthy Jared Goff, would you want him for 10 years? A fully healthy Patrick Mahomes, would you want him for 10 years? When you think about the older guys, of course you're not giving Tom Brady a 10-year deal, and he's likely not to take it anyway. Same thing with Drew Brees. Aaron Rodgers, okay, he's in his mid-30s. He says he wants to play until he's 45, and maybe that's kind of a nod to Tom Brady. But would you give him a 10-year deal? At some point, everybody drops off the map. At some point, everybody drops off Kyrie Irving's flat earth. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. There's always a point at which an all-star player's career, there's these visions of grandeur and how well this can work out. But you know, the average NFL player doesn't even last for 3 years. So, and then that's the NFL, where there's injuries, but there's also extremely high turnover. NBA, it's not that much. It's not that many more years. It's not that much of a longer tenure. In Major League Baseball, there are still injuries for sure. But it's not a contact sport. And so you generally, not talking so much about pitchers, because if they blow out their arms, maybe one time can come back, but harder to come back if you have some type of damage to your throwing shoulder, your throwing arm. But if you're talking about a Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, Giancarlo Stanton, Alex Rodriguez. Now, that was later in his career, but the Yankees thought he was going to be a legacy player. And so they wanted to pay him to keep him around. What athletes out there are worth 10-year deals right now? Again, 855-212-4227. Or you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And I don't, as much as you might say Tom Brady to me, Mike, so I just got a tweet from Mike that says Tom Brady. He says 10 years easy. The problem is Brady's not likely to play 10 more years. So while you think he could be worth that 10-year deal, I totally get it. You don't need to. You don't need to go to your boss and say, hey, can we spend this X amount of money on Tom Brady for another 10 years? Because he's probably going to walk away before that. And he's not going to go to another team, so there's really no need to lock him up for 10 years. Yeah, to me, as much as Tom Brady is worth every penny and then some that the Patriots have paid him, he's never been the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. That's not what's important to him. But there's absolutely no need to waste a 10-year deal on him. So, Mike, that's probably not a smart investment. Let's see, another tweet, Mookie Betts. So also coming from the Boston, New England sports area. Hunter on Twitter says Juan Soto from the Nats, only 20 years old. I would give him a 10-year deal. Yes, you're taking into account age. But sometimes if a guy's really young, well, then you worry about, have we seen enough? Have we gotten enough of a sample size? I worry about this with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, the injuries that he suffered, especially the torn ACL, that can happen to anybody. And in the, shoot, I don't remember what the injury was when he was with the Patriots, but it wasn't one that kept him out for a long period of time. The problem is he's only got a handful of starts under his belt. And as much as the returns have been promising, wouldn't you want to see a little more before you hand the guy a 10-year deal? How much do you need to see? Yes, you want to get a guy when he's young and theoretically going into the prime of his career, like a Mahomes, like a Goff, like a Juan Soto. But how much do you need to see to be sure that your investment is a relatively safe one? Let's talk to Tyler, who's in Texas. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, so you were talking about the next 10-year investments, and I, of course, I'm a homer here right close to Dallas. So I'm thinking a good 10-year investment would be Luka Doncic here, right here for the Dallas Mavericks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to give him one yet because he's under a rookie deal, but certainly considering what we've seen from him so far. So at this point, half a season, you're good. You don't need to see anything more from him.
No, I'm sold.
I like it. What about anybody? You said you're in Dallas, so what about anybody on the Cowboys?
I'm thinking Leighton Vander Esch. I mean, he's my safe bet for now.
No Amari Cooper? I can't get you on Amari?
Not quite yet. I want to see one more year.
All right. Although I kind of feel like, considering the Cowboys' track record with him, that those number one wide receivers are not so easy to come by. But okay, if you want to give him a little bit longer. I like the Leighton Vander Esch. To me, especially when you talk about defense, again, barring injuries, because that's the one caveat that we can't predict. This is a guy who has learned so much and has made such great, you know, strides and progress in his first year. And a lot of defense, well, it is technique, and it's about the communication. It's about understanding the system. A lot of it's just heart and effort and determination. And I'm not saying they're not skill positions, but that skill, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I feel like it's so much of it is about what you put into it. You get out what you put into it. And he clearly looks like he's willing to do the work and is already proven himself, at least in the short time that he's been in Dallas.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Jalen Smith seems to be doing the same thing as well.
Yeah, oh my gosh, and what a great story too, right?
Oh man, that's a beautiful story. That kind of comeback in that short of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a great investment too, how far he dropped there in the draft. I mean, it was brilliant to pick him up.
I would agree. Sometimes I would be really bad at this. Sometimes just because I like what a guy has overcome or what I like how a person has handled adversity, that I'm more likely to keep them around because I feel like that's good for a locker room. But those are two guys that I would be on board with. Tyler, thank you so much. It's great to talk to you.
Thanks, Halo. You have a great one.
You too. All right, so 855-212-4227. And then also on our Twitter, A-Law Radio or After Hours CBS. This one comes from D-Brag. I bet that is his given name. Connor McDavid. Yeah, that feels like a pretty sweet 10-year investment for sure. Trent says Baker Mayfield. This tweet from Jeff, he says, Alex Bregman is definitely worth 10 years. Him and his toad. Man, his toad. And then Jake says Giannis. Yeah, Giannis is definitely in the prime of his career. What athletes out there are worth 10 years? Who would you invest in right now for the next 10 years? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.